Hello, I'm Pauline Jennings. Welcome to Musician Talk. My guest today is singer-songwriter Sarah Peterson, finalist in both the 2022 U.S. Songwriting Competition and John Lennon Songwriting Contest. Sarah's songwriting chops are getting noticed. With soulful, honest lyrics and a deeply rich sound, she's driven to meet her listeners smack dab in the messiness of life, with the goal of easing the pain of the brokenhearted. Her debut album, Ghosts of Yesterday, will be out later this year, but we get to hear today, exclusively, the title track from the album. Sarah's insights and big heart is at the center of her music, and her songs touched me profoundly. Let's find out more. It's time to talk with Sarah Peterson. Welcome, Sarah, to Musician Talk.
Thanks. I really appreciate you having me here today.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a good time to have you on because you're playing in the Songwriters in the Round on April 20th at the Grand. And also, you have a song that we're going to debut on this show today, which is very, very exciting. So,
yeah, I'm so excited for that. It'll actually be coming out to the world not till the 21st. So it'll be an early preview, which I love.
Yeah, I love that too. I bet our audience will. So we're going to just start with your musical journey and just tell me when you started being aware of music or when you started singing, playing, whatever your first memories of music are.
I don't know when I started singing is the truth. I think I probably started singing about the time I could talk. I have a really cool old photo of me as a baby propped up on our old dog. My dad sitting on the couch playing his guitar to me. He's always been in bands. It's always been very normal for that music to live in the house I lived in. And I've been singing since I found my voice, which was at a very young age. And since Dad had a band, I would end up on stage awkwardly singing old bluegrass country tunes like Bony Fingers and you know, The Fox Went Out on, you know, on a Starry Night. I don't know what that one's called, but really just like kids songs. I always liked the country songs. I love the bluegrass songs. I never really liked kids songs. I guess.
Like, Dad, I want to play the real songs.
Let me do the real stuff. But, I did take lessons as a kid. I started piano lessons in about the fifth grade, I think, classical piano through all of high school. I did, you know, and I was in bands and choirs and things. And I loved being in them, but I always had this feeling like I wanted to do more. All the kids are standing there quietly clapping, and I felt like that wasn't quite enough. Come on, let's really get into this. And so it's always kind of been fun for me. Music's always been one of those things that I've gone to when things were harder, or it's always been the thing, the place where I found comfort. So it's just been a very natural part of my life. And then as far as, you know, songwriting, I don't honestly know. I suppose I was 12, 13, 14. I have a song copyright that I don't remember doing hardly from when I was maybe 14 or 15. I don't know what the song was. You know, I know the title, but like, I don't know anything about it. Mom found this old thing and you had to, at that day and age, you had to like send something in and it was paper and whatever. So, you know, I knew that I wanted to do this deep down, I think, from a pretty young age. It just wasn't something I got to immediately in my life. But always in the choirs, always in the church choirs and in the, you know, wherever it might be. Music is kind of where I always felt comfortable.
So you took piano lessons starting in fifth grade. And did you take vocal lessons as well?
Yeah, you know, as part of the school, we had choir lessons and band lessons. I did flute as well. At the time, I could play flute pretty well. I can't really play it right now. My band teacher wouldn't like that. But, you know, I did vocal lessons. I didn't do any formal voice lessons until I was in college.
Got it. And how old were you when you first started crawling up on stage to sing with your band?
That'd be a better question for my dad. I suppose I was 7 or 8. I don't know. I really don't know. Cause I know that I always ended up with a mic in my hand and I don't remember exactly when that would have been. It might've been at like a 4-H dance where I got to sing a song
because
they were doing the music. But I'm sure I wasn't very old.
Do you remember the feeling of getting on stage and in front of people and singing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That kind of, oh.
Exactly. That's all I need to say.
Like, this is the thing. I was hooked, like immediately hooked. I have always loved that feeling of opening your mouth and letting some sound come out and people go, oh, like, and you connect with the people. And I've always loved that. It's just, there's something unique about singing to a crowd.
There sure is. The feedback you get is like none other.
Yep. If there's a couple and people that get you that, you know, yeah. are really in it, it changes how you perform. It changes how you feel. It changes, it elevates everything. I love it.
So you were soloing and doing solos with your dad's band, starting when you were 7 or 8, probably. And then you were in choirs. When did you start soloing again on your own, not with your dad?
Yeah, you know, that took a winding journey. That probably was maybe 10 years ago where I decided, you know, I mean, because I did this whole thing. I went to college as a business major. I did all these different things. I was a music major for a year and a half and then decided I wasn't ever going to teach. And so I changed gears and was trying to find my way. I'm a professional photographer by trade. But I've always loved music. And I, you know, decided at one point somewhere that if either I was going to do this for real or I wasn't. And so I forced myself to learn guitar, which,
wow.
Yeah. It was not the cleanest process. My husband actually said that first summer around the campfire was really rough, but the second summer was much better. He said, so, like, anyway, so I forced myself to learn guitar so that I could play out. And then, it just kind of kept going from there. Yeah.
And so to play out, you picked up the guitar. And how old were you when you did that?
I was in my 30s.
Yeah. So that just blows me away and good for you.
I should say I had a guitar earlier than that. I mean, I've owned guitars my whole life, but I just couldn't cross the bar. Like, I couldn't cross the bar so I could actually accompany myself. So I feel like that was when I actually committed.
I think that was my problem too. I could play E and A and A minor and da da da, you know, I couldn't really get F, I couldn't really get C. And then, so I just played songs with those chords and I never got over that bar that you're talking about where you really can play, where you feel good enough that you can play out.
Yeah. And I feel like if you just keep going back to it, eventually it clicks, to be honest. So try again.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We'll see. We'll see.
Honestly, like all of a sudden something just clicks different and it, you know.
So you decided at some point in time, even though you did not stick with it in college, and I don't mean anything bad by that. I mean, that happens to, you know, and you didn't want to teach. And that was kind of the path that most colleges, if you're going to be a music major, you're not going to be a performer. You're going to be a teacher. You know, that's not going to be a livelihood anyway. And so after that, at some point in time, you decided, I'm going to do this. And what happened? Well, how did you come to that? That's a huge thing. And I would love to get some insight into how people make that decision.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I have always really liked to do is write music. I have been a songwriter since before I knew what that really was. And it's the thing that, it's my beating heart of music for me. It's the thing that moves me. And so about 6 years ago, I decided to really dive in. I joined Nashville Songwriters Association down, and it's an international group. It's a great group to belong to. I worked on the craft of songwriting. I met a bunch of people. I started co-writing. I got way out of my comfort zone a bunch of times and learned a lot of really great things and met a lot of really great people. And it's just kind of naturally evolved from there. Probably 3.5 years ago, I started co-writing, which was terrifying because you're in a room writing with other strangers at the time. You know, you don't know them yet. But it has been the best process for me. I love it so much that I'd almost prefer it to writing solo nowadays because I think it elevates it. It allows me to pair up with people who have skills that I don't, and it makes things better. And I really, really like that. And so that's been a huge part of my journey is, you know, I actually started out just wanting to be like, I'm not just, but I'm just a songwriter. Like that's what I'm like. It was safer maybe.
Yeah, just take just out of that. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm a songwriter. I want to write for other artists who are going to tour and do all these big things. And I just want to be the person behind the songwriter, writing these cool songs, or behind the artist, I meant, writing these songs that move people and whatever. And it wasn't until very recently that I kind of crossed the threshold into doing the artist thing. So,
oh, how exciting. And you mentioned writing songs with strangers. Usually when people, at least the musicians that I've talked to, talk about co-writing and collaborating, it's with people in their band or people, you know, somebody that they know. So how are you matched up with strangers to write songs? How does that happen?
Right? Pandemic. Pandemic.
Ah, so of course.
There was, at the very beginning, so I decided January of 2020, this is my year. I'm doing this. I'm going to do all the things. right. Yeah, exactly. Womp womp. But the other thing that happened then because that was such a unique situation is that all of these organizations started having virtual events that you could still attend. And so in like spring of 2020, I attended an event with Nashville Songwriters Association where it was called RISE program. And in 5 or 6 weeks time, you met everybody, you got assigned a co-writer, which is terrifying. We wrote together, and two weeks after we started writing together, we had to present our song, which was completely out of the wheelhouse for me. Like, I hadn't, you know, and her name's Genevieve, and she's actually a writer on It's Just a Tree. You know, we've had this great relationship now, and it's all because that's where it started.
Yeah.
And once that had happened, I realized that, and I'd heard from people too, that's kind of how it's done, especially in Nashville, is that co-writing is the thing. And that's kind of how it goes. And I said, well, this is something that I need to learn how to do then. And so I did it a fair amount that first year. And then for the last 2+ years, I've been co-writing maybe 3 to 5 times a week and just building all these songs and figuring out how to pitch them and doing things that are for artists and working on things that are for TV, film, and movie. And I've just got all these different irons in the fire, songwriting wise. And then layer on top of that, some songs that actually spoke to me.
Yeah. Wow. And I can imagine how scary and frightening it would be to meet up with a stranger to co-write, because you're so vulnerable. I mean, you're so incredibly vulnerable. And if it works, I can understand how you get to be such good friends, right? Because it kind of comes quickly when you're so vulnerable, you have to trust each other so quickly.
Yeah. Actually, that's maybe my favorite part is that the people I write with, I've got so many really good friends all over the world.
Wow.
People that I would have in my home, people that I meet for the first time and jump in their vehicle. I know it sounds crazy, but I was just in Nashville last week and roomed with a co-writer friend of mine. And we didn't even realize it until we'd been there like a full day. I asked her, I said, Tracy, have we even met in person before? we hadn't met in person before, but we'd co-written and shared some really, I mean, we'd shared ourselves, like we'd our stories and our truths, we'd shared those with each other. And when you do that, like you grow trust really fast.
Right.
Like I said, I've got a co-writer in Canada. I've got a Malaysian co-writer, which is also the third co-writer on It's Just a Tree. Like it's just, and these are friends of mine. Like we've met a lot of them in person, and some of them I still hope to meet, and, you know, and I've got places to travel.
right. Places to stay. That is so wonderful and exciting. And you mentioned It's Just a Tree a couple times, and this is the first song we're going to listen to today. So why don't you go ahead and set that up? Tell us who the names of those co-writers and who's playing on it and the story behind the song.
Alongside of the road that I drive every day was this scraggly looking tree. And, you know, in the winter, trees should lose their leaves, but this one just didn't. And, you know, I drove by it for weeks and thought, that is just strange. Like, what's going on? You know, and it's winter in Minnesota, so you feel a little like gloomy and you're like, you know, you feel that melancholy thing anyway. So I come into the co-write with Genevieve and Amrita. Genevieve is a lyricist in Nashville, and Amrita is a indie folk artist in Malaysia. And this is probably a crazy idea, but there's this tree, and I told it, and within about a minute, they're like, yeah, we want to write that, you know? And so this tree holds on a little tight. I don't know what the story is. So we flushed that story kind of out, worked out kind of where it was going. And for weeks, it just like, it wouldn't leave me alone. I'm like, man, that song sure feels like me. It sure feels like something I want to say. And so then
Wow.
quite sheepishly, I went to my co-writers and I was like, would you be okay? Because we're pitching this around Nashville,
Right,
and
right.
we still are. But I went to them and I'm like, how would you feel if I recorded this song? And they were so excited. Like it was instant, and they were excited and on board and go do it.
Nice.
And so I did. I went and recorded it. And wouldn't you know, the darn tree grew into a full EP and an artist thing and all these other things. It just kind of all came very naturally from it.
Awesome. And so what about this song spoke to you that you wanted to record it?
Everybody's had hard spaces in their life. And I think as we're going through those spaces, we kind of wonder if we're okay. We're like, am I doing this right? Am I letting go of what I need to? And am I holding on to what I need to be able to heal, to be able to move forward, to be able to just to be able to exist? And are we just walking this path alone, and that's why we all feel a little bit lonely? Or, it's just,
Right.
there's just moments to this that it just spoke to my heart. And I wanted other people who might have felt like that to feel, to have a home, like in whatever they were wandering through.
And it spoke to me, that's for sure. There are so many lines in here that are so well put, so succinctly put, and beautifully and poetically said. And choosing what to hold on to and what to let go of is, I think, probably one of the hugest, biggest challenges as human beings that we have.
Yeah,
And
it's true.
we face that all the time, even if it's not with a tragedy,
Right.
even if it's just something, a disagreement or any kind of conflict. That
Yeah.
is such a hard question
It is,
to answer.
absolutely. And I think it is how we figure out who we're going to be in the future.
Nice. Yeah.
I think what we choose to hold on to and what we choose to let go of determines who we get to be. And I think that that's really hard. I think, and it's really hard to let go of things that you really want to hang on to for whatever reason. But it's an important part of this journey, I think. And it's, like I said, the song just wormed its way inside my heart. And there was nothing to do but record it. So I talked to a producer down in Nashville who had worked on some other projects for me. And I said, well, I'm coming to Nashville in 10 days here. 10 days. I'm going to be there. We don't have to record it while I'm there, but I want you to work on this project. And he shuffled his schedule and got me
Wow.
in. I got off the plane. I recorded the song and it changed everything.
Wow. What do you mean changed everything?
He sent me a draft of it while I was still in Nashville. And the moment I heard it, I realized that I had an artist's path. Like it
Nice.
was just, I just didn't, I didn't. I didn't own that path for myself until that moment. And I've always been a musician. It's not that I wouldn't be on stage. I just never, that's a big word. And I
Yeah.
think it bears a lot of responsibility. And so I hadn't really gotten to the point, but when I heard it, I thought, wow, this is something I'm legitimately able to do. And it was just, it was a strange moment for me, but I loved it. It's been a
Yeah.
very good growth year.
I mean, we all ask for moments like that, to have the conviction of and what we're going to do. And that is also another difficult thing. Are these session musicians that played on this?
No, Simon is insanely talented.
And
He played all the instruments. Like
he's the guy in the studio.
he's the producer.
He's
Yeah,
the
he's
producer.
the arranger, producer, mixing master. Yeah, he
Yeah.
is
Wow.
brilliant, and I was fortunate enough to be able to work with him.
Well, and I love the way this is mixed. I love how your voice is out front and yet not at all in your face. And it's just mixed beautifully as well.
Yeah. I couldn't have asked for a better partner in making, because I truly only thought it was going to be one song initially, and that was my goal. And he has been my producer for all six songs on the EP that's coming out in a few months. And so it's been a really, I feel like the stars aligned, because he was just such, he was the perfect person to help with this project.
Oh, how wonderful. I love your voice in this too. It's so clear and strong yet delicate. So let's take a listen to It's Just a Tree written and performed by my guest today, Sarah Peterson.
It's just a dream. Round the bend off Highway 50, holding on to leaves when it should have let them go. Before the days got shorter, and I can't help but start to wonder, is it strong or is it stubborn? Does it not know that there are things we lose that we're just not ready to lose? Seasons change and sometimes we don't get to choose what time erases or what might break us, but we still grow through holding on and letting go. So like that tree, maybe I hold on too tight to things that I should probably leave behind. 'Cause life got harder, and I can't help but wonder, am I desperate or determined? I just don't know. 'Cause there are things we lose that we're just not ready to lose. Sometimes we don't get to choose what time erases or what might break us, but we still grow through holding on and letting go. Letting go. It's just a dream. Round the bend off Highway 50.
This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. You just heard my guest today, Sarah Peterson, performing her original tune called It's Just a Tree. So we already talked a little bit about songwriting, and I'm just, when you collaborate with a song like this, how do you decide on the lyrics? Because these are so, they're just so poignant and so perfectly said.
You know, there were three of us in, you know, on the Zoom call when we were doing it, and we have a Google Doc. We talk about the ideas and we throw them out there. And, you know, I've written with John Avi and Amrita often enough that we kind of have a rhythm or a flow to it, and we'll throw in lines and we'll really erase lines and we'll throw in additional lines and we'll be like, that's not quite right. And we'll all kind of vie for what feels the most to us, you know, because we really ultimately want something that feels like something. And so we'll write and we'll write and we'll write, you know, so we've got a draft one, and I love going back and seeing how to make it feel like more.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it, which line is the weakest link at this point, and how do we strengthen that, and how do we make it more than what it is? You know, there's a moment in a song where it just kind of like, where you go, whoa, you know, you, whoa. Yeah. Like, as you're writing it, you're like, no, I think that's right. Like, it just, it feels right. Like, and it's hard to explain until you you're in the process and you're like fighting over a lyric and you're fighting over a lyric, I mean, fighting in a loose sense, but you know, you're like, no, I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's right. And then you find this line and you're like, everybody in the room goes, oh,
right.
And I also think that you can't see everything, you know, right. You can't see everything. And so when you're working with collaborators that are really good at what they do as well, that you trust, it's a really cool thing because all of a sudden, like, they're bringing ideas to the forefront that are really what you would have said too, you know,
right,
like,
right.
And you find this place where everybody's feeling really good about the songs. It takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of giving up your ego.
I was just going to ask about ego because mm-hmm. I could imagine, you know, that's my line. That was my favorite line that I wrote. And now the other two or somebody doesn't like it or doesn't want it. How does that work?
Well, you need to go in knowing that it's all about the song.
Nice.
It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with how this song will be the best it can possibly be. It sounds corny, I guess, but really it's just about the song. And if you can step outside of yourself and, oh, your favorite line gets cut, it burns a little. But, sure. You know, maybe it's a different song and you can take that and run with it in a different direction. But I've also found that over time with different co-writing teams that ultimately, the choice that's made by the group ends up being the better choice.
That would help a lot, having that experience and knowing that that's how it turns out. That's great. Putting your ego aside for the music, I think there's a lot of people that could learn from that. And it's not corny at all. I think it's just truth.
You know, I've been in co-writing rooms where I didn't feel like everybody was kind of equally in the room. And, you know, you maybe don't go back. It's a lot like dating, I suppose. Like, you know, you find the people that really make the most sense to you and that you feel that you create great things with and you feed that you build that. So I think it's really been a very cool learning process for me. I'm only, you know, like I said, I'm only 3 years into co-writing, but I adore it.
That's just great, Sarah. Really, really wonderful that you're doing that and that you found your niche within a niche. Mm-hmm. That's great. I would like to move on to the quote. It's a John Lennon quote. And the reason I picked this is because you're a finalist in a John Lennon songwriting contest, correct?
Correct. Yeah, in the folk category.
In what?
In the folk category. They get, you know, thousands of entries each year, and there are 12 categories. There's a winner and three finalists. That's what it would be in the folk category. And I was one of three finalists, which feels great. And this is the first song I ever released. Ends up being the, you know, a finalist in this big song contest.
Wow.
The connections that helps build is really cool, you know, because I can reach out to the others that are in this group. And it shows that I'm trying hard. It shows that I'm working at this. It shows that this is a direction I am going.
It's validating. It's validating.
And I just think that it's been a really cool thing to be able to, like, just put it out there and have somebody love it.
Right. Exactly.
No critics, no, like, no cutting it down. I'm like, hey, it's legitimately there. That's great. It feels good. I can't lie. But it also, it's just one step along the way. One step, many steps.
Well, I think anything that makes you feel good, it feeds you. And so you have something more to move on with, even if it's just a little bit. So here's the quote by John Lennon. I write songs because that's the thing I choose to do. And I can't help writing them. That's a fact. Sometimes I felt as though you worked to justify your existence, but you don't. You work to exist and vice versa. And that's it, really. So your first thought when you read this?
My first thought is, yeah, like writing is existing for me. Like it is connected. And as far as the top of the quote, the thing I choose to do, I don't even know if that fits me. It's more the thing that I can't run away from. Like
it chose me.
Yeah. Like I don't think I woke up one day and said, I'm going to be a songwriter. I had words bubbling out that needed music and they became songs. And so I have joked with friends and family that it's a good thing that at least some of these songs aren't terrible because I would still do it and I would still subject everybody to it. And even if I couldn't sing, I would still be singing because it's just part of following my path. I think it's the thing I'm supposed to do, I guess is my point.
Oh, nice.
And if that's the truth, then, you know, then I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Well, and that takes us to the later part of the quote of you work to exist. It's kind of like you are a songwriter to exist. You write songs to exist. That's your existence, a part, not of course your whole existence, but it's part of just who you are.
Yeah. I do other things. I am responsible and handle my life, but it's the one thing I can't put down. I am a photographer and I have been for a long time now. And I had some photographer friends who never put their camera down and I always could. I always can. I love photography, but it's also something I can put down. Songwriting, I don't put down. It's always kind of in my head. I might hear a line somewhere and think, wow, that's a great song. And I'll put it in a little note for later. And I'll be walking around, I'll be making coffee in the morning and the rhythm of my espresso maker all of a sudden puts something in my head. And I'm kind of like singing a song, you know,
that's great.
And I'm like, okay, is that mine or is that somebody else's? Like, I've got to like make sure that I'm not like pulling in something that someone else's, but you know, it's just part of who I am. And I love that part. So yeah, I agree with that. It's just, it's how I exist.
And we'll leave that there. Thank you very much. It's time to introduce the next song called Ghosts of Yesterday. And folks, this is the one that's debuting right here on Musician Talk on April 9th, 2023. Tell us about this one.
Okay, well, this song, like most songs for me, they're not about just one thing or another. This song had its genesis after my aunt lost a father-in-law to depression. And it can happen at any age. And I just was walking around thinking, man, how do we connect back with that person? We still love them and we can't tell them anymore because they're gone. And I also have a cousin who we lost young. She had neurofibromatosis and her name's Jessie. And she was my first best friend. And I adore her. And sometimes I just like to, you know, hang out with the thoughts of her and the ghosts of her and just like remember and live in that space. And so this one is called Ghosts of Yesterday. And it's kind of about being with those people that we can't physically be with anymore and spending a little bit of time, not really being sad, just being grateful that they got to exist at all, that we got to be with them and that they changed us and made us more. And I think that because she didn't get to be as old as I would have hoped there, I feel like I carry her with me a little bit, and I all these adventures I get to go on, I want to be as good as I possibly can because I kind of want to have her on my shoulder. Like she didn't get to do all this stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if that's clear in the song, but it's kind of where the feeling of the song came about for me. And again, like it's hard to move forward while you're looking backwards, you know. Moving forward while looking back never got me anywhere.
So many of us do that. That's where, for some reason, it's more comfortable. Maybe it's because moving forward, you have to do some work. And once you get to a certain point, then that becomes easier. But before you do the work, it's easier not to.
Yeah.
Easier in quotes. I mean, really, it's not. But for some reason, your brain thinks it is.
You think it is. But yeah. It's much better to kind of make your peace with that and then be able to hang out with those people that you loved a little in your heart. You know, and I just think like that's if you get through the hard work, then what's left is the memory. And the memories aren't bad. The end might have been bad, but the memories aren't bad. The memories are good. And we can still honor that those were really wonderful.
And if there are bad memories, you know, if it was a person in your life that you had strife with, that's okay too. I mean, we learn from all of it, you know, and it all can make us better people.
Yeah, but holding on to it doesn't make us better. You know, being able to make our peace with whatever we have makes us better. It makes us able to have the life we want, and it's not shadowed by all the sorrow or regret or anger. Like you have to let that go. You have to, because if you don't, you're just lost in it.
And it's part of forgiveness. And I believe in this with my whole heart and soul. Forgiving others makes your life better.
Yeah. Forgiving others is really forgiving yourself and allowing it to be full circle and allowing you to move on, because holding on to that only hurts yourself.
Exactly. So, before we listen to this song. Who is playing on this song?
Yeah, this again is my producer, Simon Reed. He did all the arrangement. He played the harmonica. He actually bought a harmonica in the key that this song was in because he didn't have, he had a bunch of harmonicas, but he didn't have the right key. So he went out and found a harmonica in the right key and did it. And this happens to be a solo write. I don't do a ton of solo writes, but this one existed for quite a while. And the bridge was, I rewrote the bridge like four times. I finally found one that I liked and I felt like it was ready. And it, again, it felt like mine. It felt like one that fits this EP, this project of songs for people whose hearts are aching, you know, meeting people where they are and trying to, you know, make them feel seen and understood and maybe a little bit better just for a little while. And I hope it's both aching and healing at the same time. That's kind of my vision. So.
All right. So let's take a listen to Ghosts of Yesterday, written and sung by my guest today, Sarah Peterson.
Driving past the stones at the side of the road, looking at the broken inside my soul, moving forward while looking back never got me anywhere. But a cold December wind will take me there. Seeking solace, seeking grace, looking for a familiar face, knowing the only place I'll find it is long gone now. Trying to make my peace, though I don't know how. So tonight thanks and sharing space with the ghosts of yesterday. I hear your name soft on a whispering wind, wandering with a memory of what might have been. I can't go back, can't get home. It's a losing fight, I know. Twisted lines of remembering and let go. Ghosts of yesterday. I hear that old north wind calling me back again. So tonight I'm singing it slow with the lights down low, whispering things and sharing space with the ghosts of yesterday. Whispering thanks and sharing space with the ghosts of yesterday.
This is Musician Talk, and I'm your host, Pauline Jennings. My guest today is Sarah Peterson. You just heard her original song called Ghosts of Yesterday. And again, love, I mean, it's the same guy, so it makes sense. Just love the mix. Everything has its place. Your voice is right out front. without being overwhelming. And I just really love the song, love the whole construction of it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I love the way he helped arrange it. And he helped, Simon Reed, he helped bring this song to life in a way that I only hoped for.
Wow. And that's what every producer should do. We all hope for producers like that. That's really a gift. Wow. Yeah. I just have to say that line I like best, or that hit me the strongest, and because of things I'm going through, and how things get so twisted. And it's like, what is twisted? What is it? And you have it right here. Twisted lines of remembering and letting go. It's remembering not only the person, and this is, for me, it's around conflict. But it's also of remembering past stories that you have on the people, and holding on to those stories that you have that are really false usually. And they're so twisted. And to untangle them is really a hard thing to do, but so worth it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, life is never one thing or another. It's all things all at the time, which is why it's complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
and so being able to unwind those things and to be able to put them where they need to be so that you get to be who you want to be is a good thing, so that there's healing in it, and understand that we're all just going through things.
And we could talk about this forever, because there's so much there and it is so complicated, but we're going to move on to best gig, worst gig. I don't know how much you've played out.
Yeah. You know, I've played out a bit before the pandemic, and I've started to play out again post pandemic. You know, the best gig, worst gig, you know, there was a time I was playing in a bar, and they were announcing some things, and they did that part of the night. So they, you know, flipped their main speaker. And then when it went back to the full thing, they didn't turn my music back. I could hear my monitor speaker, so I thought everything was fine. But like 15, 20 minutes later, somebody's like, yeah, you're not on.
So, oh, no.
Like, the owner had shut me off, and I'd been singing my heart out for, you know, so like, that wasn't great.
No, that
I don't think it
great.
Was on purpose, but at the same time, I'm like, come on, you know, like, and I'm in this loud bar at night trying to entertain. So I'm singing right. louder than it, you know, anyway. So anyway,
that's not fair.
It wasn't great, but it's okay. You know, one small story in a long line of good stories. But
right.
The thing I do love the most, because at my heart, I'm a songwriter, is I love songwriter rounds. Like this one coming up on April 20th at the Grand. Like, I love that kind of thing. To be able to sing a song and share about why that song, or what that song meant to you, and to see if that connects with anybody, and to have people listening, like,
yes,
you know, I think that's really cool. I want the stories to be known. I want the songs to mean as much as they can to people. You know, people have their own stories that they connect with songs, for sure. I love this. And I love listening to other songwriters tell their stories of their songs.
Well, and that's exactly what Songwriters in the Round is all about, down at the Grand, April 20th. They're doing it about every month. So if you can't make April 20th, watch the website or go to Mark Ross's Facebook page. Anyway, it's April 20th at 7 o'clock, and everybody there is there to listen. And there's a group of songwriters, singer-songwriters, that perform their music, tell the story behind it, which of course I love, which you could tell because that's what I do on my show. I love finding out about the stories behind songs. I think it just makes music all that much more powerful. So definitely people, if you can, go down to the Grand on April 20th at 7 o'clock. To hear not only my guest today, Sarah Peterson, but a bunch of other very talented singer-songwriters. Do you have any other gigs that you want to talk about? And then also, let's talk about where people can find your music.
Yeah, at this point, all my future gigs will be on my website. I'm in the process of fine-tuning that. So sarahpetersonmusic.com. Any events that I've got coming up will be on there. And then they can find
I was just going to say that's Sarah with an H.
It's Sarah with an H.
Sarah with an H. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, Sarah with an H. Peterson, S-O-N. That's complicated
the other one,
out there, isn't it?
Yeah,
but if I'm on Instagram at Sarah Peterson Music. I'm also on Facebook, Sarah Peterson Music MN, because the other one was taken. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Spotify or anywhere you get any of your streaming services as Sarah Peterson. You know, if you look me up and give me a follow, that would be wonderful. It helps all the things.
Absolutely.
But mainly, I just hope you enjoy the music and yeah, and feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Well, what is the name of the album that you're working on? That you're working, or is it not out yet?
No, I mean, it's not out yet, but the name
I mean,
of the
name,
album.
If you've not decided on the name yet, sorry.
Yeah, actually, the name flip-flopped, but I'm going to call it Ghosts of Yesterday.
Nice. So we, folks, we heard the title track from her upcoming LP. Thank you so much for joining me today and spending some time with us and telling us some great stories and allowing us to have some insight into your beautiful music. Really appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate the time and for being here. It means a lot to have others know that this music exists.
Absolutely. And I will see you on April 20th down at the Grand.
Fantastic. We'll see you there.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Many, many thanks to Sarah for sharing her beautiful heart and poignant music with us today. Thanks always to Wendy Nordquist and to you, dear listener, for listening to Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. Have an awesome day and finally enjoy the warmth.